But to return to the topic of divorce, having had the pleasure of speaking to a number of you on air yesterday during our special phone-in to mark the law change in England and Wales, which saw no-fault divorces come into effect. If you missed that, catch up on BBC Sounds. And thank you so much to everybody who got in touch and was so honest. In a new series, Life After Divorce, our reporter Henrietta Harrison, who's recently been through a divorce herself, meets other divorcees to hear their stories. We begin with Amanda, not her real name, who's 51 and split from her husband 12 years ago when he came out as gay.
I was dedicated and committed to my marriage. It was for life for me. And we got on great. But obviously I knew deep down that it wasn't right. We didn't have an intimate side, really, apart from having two kids. And so it just built up where I just thought, I can't do this forever. And he felt the same, and he said he would leave. I didn't actually think he would, but he did. And it was a relief, actually.
When you found out that he was gay, was it a shock?
In the 10 years we'd been married, I'd put it to him on two occasions, because I remember. And I asked him outright if he was gay. So I must have had suspicions. And he went ballistic with me. How dare I question his sexuality and blah, blah, blah. So I thought, oh, I better put that to one side. So it wasn't a shock, but it still was because he was leaving. But I kind of thought, yeah, I knew, yeah.
Amanda lives in a rented three-bed in a city in Yorkshire with her two kids. We talk in her kitchen. Like many of us, she only heats one room when she's working from home. There are cut flowers, a scented candle, and lots of those framed pictures with positive affirmations like mistakes are the stepping stones to success or every day I am a better version of myself. In fact, they are the sort of statements you might read on divorce sites on Instagram. But Amanda's not keen.
I'm quite choosy in who I follow and who I look at. So, leave the glass and I can't see.
And one Instagram account particularly riles her.
She's only been divorced, separated a couple of years, and she goes on all these dates. And I think because of her job, she goes to all these fancy places, and it's lovely to watch and see on Instagram. And I saw an article, and it had a picture of this journalist, and it said, the poster girl for divorce. And I thought, you are. It's nothing like reality for me, and I'm sure many other women. That might be how it is for some women, and good luck to them, do you know? But it's so not, do you know, it's so not the reality. Everything changes, everything.
You get all these sort of images, don't you, of liberation. And I think there's a very famous photograph of Nicole Kidman after Tom Cruise running in a see-through blouse. Mm. I mean, for me, it felt this whole idea that if I'm not out dating or I'm not, you know, out having adventurous sex or cocktails with the girls, that it adds to the sort of sense of failure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember that picture too, but they had money. You know, she wasn't thinking, how am I going to feed my kids this week? I went shopping last week, they declined my card, you know, which happened to me. So I don't think Nicole Kidman was worrying what she was going to give the kids to eat that week or where she would live. For a lot of women, it's the money side changes everything. So if you're, I'm not saying you don't feel the abandonment, the hurt, the rejection, you know, the grief of losing your marriage, but it's got to be a lot easier knowing that you've got that financial comfort. So we're human and we all feel the same emotions, but people I seem to read about or see, life goes on as normal, and mine certainly didn't. Everything crashed.
Because of the money.
Because of the money.
Amanda had been the first in her family to get a mortgage, but after the split, on paper, she didn't qualify for a mortgage on her own and had to move into a rental. I know how she feels. I too had to move into a rental when I moved out of our family home with my two kids. It was an eye-opener, to say the least. Demand way outstripped supply, and the price you had to pay for substandard housing and how hard you had to fight to get these terrible properties was shocking.
Renting has been not great for me, and I moved 3 times in 5 years, which was awful.
So how tight have you been financially? I mean, you've always been working.
Yeah, always worked. And thank God for tax credits. You know, they supplemented my income. I didn't qualify for housing benefit or anything like that. So we have always had enough, but we have not lived an extravagant life. My car is really old. I don't really go out much. I go to charity shops. I shop on eBay. So although when I say we've had enough, I've been able to pay my bills and go shopping every week. And to me, that's been enough.
I know the day I moved out of my family home, something I was really dreading. My mum came to help me, actually. Mm. She came to help me pack up the boxes. I think she'd got mixed feelings about the divorce. I think she found it quite hard to accept. On the morning that we were actually moving, that the van was coming, she said, "How are you feeling?" And I said, "Well, you know, not great, you know, pretty awful." And she said, "Well, at least you can remember it's your choice." And I remember thinking, actually, it's not a choice. No one would choose this. But for you, are there any moments that you look back on as being particularly hard?
When we moved that year, when we moved into the rental, and then a few months in, we had to move out again because of the damp. And when the estate agent said, "Oh, you can move back in now," just went down and it was full of dust and muck. So I'd unpacked everything, made it all homely. Then a few months in, pack everything again, and it was filthy, full of dust. And I thought, I can't do it. I think I had a breakdown. It was too much. Selling a house, finding somewhere to live all on my own. It was kind of a mini breakdown, because you can only break down so far when you've got two kids who rely on you, do you know? So I kept the show on the road, but I'd cry when they were in bed. I did function, but I was just going through the motions. And that's years ago. Of course, I've had seasons where I felt really low and just not happy. Who would be happy, do you know, doing everything on your own? And I couldn't read books, I couldn't concentrate. I went to the doctors, I took some time off work. I run, I like to run, and that's helped. But I just had to get strong again, because I knew I had to get back on track and go.
I mean, the kids are quite good for you in that sense, aren't they? I remember people saying to me, because I was going through the divorce during COVID, and lots of people used to say to me, when, you know, we were in lockdowns, I don't know how you do it with the kids. And I used to think to myself, actually, I don't know how I do it without the kids.
What's the alternative, do you know?
My kids were certainly what got me up in the morning on those difficult days, physically and emotionally. Even if you consider yourself decent, mature, devoted to the best interests of your children, emotions seem to get in the way. Amanda and her ex share parenting.
We didn't for the first year because it left me to move in with somebody else. And so I didn't know this other person from Adam. He'd not known this person for long. So I didn't want the children to go. Plus, because of our jobs and our hours we worked, our setup was that I went not to work. He took the kids to school and nursery. He finished early, picked them up because my hours were longer at the time. So for the first year, he came to the house. He just left. It was traumatic. It was awful. Yet he had to come every morning still to see to the kids so I could go to work. And he was there when I got in. And then on a Saturday, he'd come and have them for the day. And I would either go upstairs into my bedroom and try and read or whatever, or go to a friend's. I didn't want them to go to this new place that nobody knew much about at that point. But then after a year, he were a good dad and they were desperate to spend more time with him. And I realised then, I can't keep this going all the time. I've got a full-on job, no family support as such. Because my dad, he loved us and we adored him, but he wasn't a well man. He couldn't physically look after the kids. He came, visited all the time, but he couldn't look after them or take them out on his own.
So you shared parenting, but you operated out of just your home.
For the first year. So after a year, we did alternate weekends. They went on a Friday night 1 week and on a Saturday night the week after. So it was just one night. And it wasn't until I moved into a rental the first time, so 3 years down the line, that they started going every other weekend. And we've maintained that. I know I'm lucky in the sense that I do have every other weekend and a couple of nights through the week. But boy, do I need it. Yeah.
You actually said that though you share parenting 50-50, that you think the emotional responsibility, I think the phrase that you used when we spoke was that he loves them, but you carry them.
I do. I really feel that, yeah. I know everything about my children, do you know?
Do they emotionally share with him?
Do you know what? They do. They've got a good relationship with him. But there's been lots of ups and downs because he's put relationships before them. And as they get older, my daughter especially can see that. But she still loves him. And I've said, he is your dad and it is what it is. He loves you, really loves you. But as she's got older, I've said to her, but he will come first.
What has been the impact on the children?
I do believe all kids want the mum and dads to be together. I do. I remember when my daughter was, she must have been about eight, not long after he'd gone, a friend had come to stay over and a friend's mum, I remember saying to me, your daughter said to my daughter, oh, they're going to get back together because when he comes in and mum's fine with him. So I know they're going to get back together, do you know? And I had to sit her down and say, that's not going to happen.
You have not had any significant relationships.
No. I went out with somebody for 8 weeks last summer, and that was my first relationship in 12 years. And I didn't like it. And I'm a control freak, I realise. And I was like, and he was lovely, but it was too much for me. He wanted to marry me and it was just too intense.
You made a choice not to have a partner. Is that right? You wanted to put the children first?
I did. So I didn't go looking for it. And funnily enough, they don't come knocking on your door, do you know?
But my point is, was it a conscious choice not to?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why?
Because I couldn't. I felt I needed to give my kids 100% and I wanted home to be home for them. And I don't ever want them to feel uncomfortable, ever.
I think it's really interesting that, and I know it's a generalisation, that men seem to pursue other relationships, they pursue pleasure, they put their needs first, and women prioritise the children. They put their sort of romantic selves aside. And I think part of me thinks, well, why are we being such martyrs? We're almost like victims of the divorce because of that. We don't move on in the way that men often do.
No, we don't. I know I'm a bit odd for that, you know, for how I've lived my life these past 12 years. I know it's not the norm and I don't judge anybody for making other decisions, you know. But for me, they went through so much, my kids, and they've dealt with a lot, you know, and they've had to accept a lot. We're all broken. I'm broken. They're broken. But I didn't want to break them anymore.
Don't you think they would have quite liked to have seen you with someone that supported you and loved you?
No, I know they don't. My son used to say, don't you be bringing a boyfriend. I'm not having a stepdad. Don't bring any boyfriend home to this house. I said, and he'll joke with me sometimes. And he'll go, have you got a boyfriend? I'll go, yeah, I have. You better not have, do you know. My daughter, now she's older, will go, oh, Mum, I just wanted you to meet somebody. And she's looking out for people, do you know.
You had this relationship last year, but presumably for the rest of that 12 years, it was... In terms of your sexual life, it was a complete drought, was it?
Yeah. I mean, I must say, and this is really mega important, and I've not mentioned this to you, but I am a Christian as well. So that does massively influence my decisions as well. But no, I've not slept with anybody since he left. And we've probably not slept together for the last 2 years of being married.
You won't sleep with someone until you're married again? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, yeah. I mean, if I'm being really honest, sex is important. We all need that. We need intimacy. But I've switched off to it. And I haven't ever met anybody who's really turned my head, you know. So it's not a case of I've chosen not to and that's that. Like I said, they don't come knocking up. All these eligible, lovely men, they're not out there in abundance.
Do you feel guilty or ashamed that you're divorced?
No, not at all.
No sense of failure?
No, I couldn't have done any more. I gave that man my everything. And as hard as it was, and it was traumatic, I can't put into words how traumatic it was, I wouldn't have my two children if I'd not married, do you know? And I possibly would have married somebody else and had different children, but they wouldn't be my two who I've got now. And so for them alone, I'm truly grateful. And would I have wanted the lives we've got or what they've had to go through? No, I wouldn't. But essentially, they're all right. I know they are. So I don't feel guilty. I think regret's a waste of time completely. I think comparison's a thief of joy. That's my mindset most of the time.
You talked about that you were in a lonely, unhappy marriage and that you're happier now as a single woman. Do you ever feel envied by people? I mean, I find that when people find out I'm divorced or people that know me, that I feel that I'm in some circumstances pitied, but in other circumstances I'm envied.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I remember a mum at school in the early days saying, so what's it like? And how often do you have the kids? And how do you manage money-wise? And I thought, oh, I think she's fancying a bit of this. There's many people in my experience who are married and they're frightened to death, which I totally get, of rocking the status quo. How will they cope? How will they manage? And that fear is real. I would say to anybody that the fear is worse than the reality, but it's still hard. The grass ain't greener.
It's different grass.
It is different grass, yeah.
What advice would you give to the 39-year-old self that was about to go through a divorce now?
Brace yourself. Brace yourself, because this is going to be hard. If I'd have known when I was 39 what I would have to go through, I would have thought, take me now, I can't do it. But you take one day at a time, and if today's absolutely horrendous, tomorrow's a new day.
Some brilliant advice there. That report by Henrietta Harrison. Thank you so much for your company and contributions today. The programme's back tomorrow at 10. That's all for today's Woman's Hour. Thank you so much for your time. Join us again for the next one.